Welcome everybody to what might be the last part of Hilchas Muktzah. And with a long stretch, I think this is probably number 6, maybe even 7, around there. And we finished talking about all the things that are Muktzah. Now we've just begun talking about things, how to move things that are Muktzah. Last week we talked about the first heter to move Muktzah, and that's tiltul begufo, using your body to move Muktzah. And just something that a lot of people think that I'd love to clarify, although I don't really understand it. Many people, a language is used called la'achar yad, with the back of your hand. It happens to be that even though that is sometimes used in other areas of halacha, when it comes to Shabbos, to minimize an issur d'oraisa, to be only an issur d'rabbanan. For example, let's say you have to go to the hospital on Shabbos, so you're going to take the elevator, for whatever, because of necessity. If you're going to have to press the button, you should do a kila achayad with the back of your hand, with your knuckle, or with your, you know, left hand even. When it comes to muktzah, Ramosha says it's better not to use your hands. When we talk about your body, we mean your body, your knees, your elbows, your nose, your teeth. You can think of all kinds of creative ways to use your body to move muktzah, other than your hands. This heter, to move muktzah with your body, is very, very helpful because it applies practically in every kind of muktzah. We'll see there's going to be one exception, which we'll see soon. However, we had one problem. Despite the fact that the Mishnah Brura is lenient and says you can move muktzah items with your body, kick them with your foot and other parts of your body, there was a Chazon Ish that we pointed out at the end of last week's shiur who says that this whole heter of moving your body is not so ideal. Or he says it doesn't exist. So therefore we have Machlokas, the Mishnah Brura is Mekel, the Chazon Ish is not Mekel. So Halach L'Maisar, Moshe Feinstein suggested that if you need to, then move it with your body. If you don't need to move the Muktzah, so better to be machmir for that Chazon Ish who holds that there is no such heter as moving with your body. But again, if there's a situation where you do need to, for whatever reason it is, you'd call it necessary as opposed to, you know, what you want, then you can use your body. That's the first heter of moving muktzah that we talked about last week. Now we'll start the new stuff. The second category, and some of you might have those sheets that I gave it in the past, the colorful sheets with a second sheet with a heterim, is tiltul min hatzad, moving something from its side. The best English translation would be indirect movement. Movement that is not direct. Let me read a Mishnah to you in Maseches Shabbos, and then that will be the paradigm, and we'll go from there. We'll talk about different applications, different specifics. But this is a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Beis, 142. Says the Mishnah, let's say I have a barrel of wine that I'd like to drink on Shabbos. But sitting on top of the barrel is a rock. We know that a rock is muktzah machmas gufo, and therefore I can't move the rock even if I need its location. So I can't lift off the rock even though I need the wine underneath it. So how am I going to get to the wine? Says the Mishnah, tilt the barrel a little bit sideways, and if you tilt the barrel a little sideways, the rock will of course fall off. Obviously you might lose some wine that way, so be careful. What happens if the Mishnah continues? What happens if there are a bunch of barrels and I want the middle barrel? There's nowhere to tilt it. So can I lift it up with the muktzah on top of it? In effect, lifting up muktzah, says the Mishnah. Yes, magbia, lift it up, and once you lift it up with your hands, the barrel, tilt it and the rock will fall off. Oh, but aren't you moving the rock? You are. Isn't the rock muktzah? It is. However, this is indirect movement of that muktzah rock. And here is something that is much more applicable, certainly, to us all the time on Friday nights. Ma'os sha'al hakar. Monies that are on top of your pillow. There's a Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, mina'er, you shake up, you shake off, et hakar, shake the pillow, behein no flows. The monies will fall off, the coins, the dollars will fall off. We talked, of course, the other common cases that your cell phone is on the pillow. That we said, cell phone is only a klisha malach tol iser. It's not muktzah machmas gufo. And a klisha malach tol iser, you can move if you need its location. So a cell phone, you can just pick up with your hands and move. The remote control, you can pick up with your hands and move. However, something that is not a klisha malach tol iser, that's more severe, like money, that you have to shake the pillow, you can shake the pillow, and again, you're moving the money, but indirectly because of the movement that you're applying to the pillow. Similarly, and this is also going to be very applicable, Haisa alav lishleshes. Lishleshes is some kind of, I don't know if it's like a bird made on it or some other kind of gook or dirt that fell on your pillow. You could imagine just mukta dirt that is on a tablecloth. That's the most direct application. Concludes the Mishnah, min kancha bismartut. What's a smartut? Modern Hebrew also. A rag. Mikaneach, you could wipe it away with a rag. Oh, but aren't you moving that mukta dirt, whatever that dirt might be? Yes, but you're using a rag to move the mukta, and therefore it's indirect movement of the mukta. This is the Mishnah, that's the paradigm of indirect movement of mukta, tiltul min hatzad, from the side indirectly. That's the Mishnah, which is the source of everything. Let me share with you one or two applications that the Shulchan Aruch takes the Mishnah, applies it, and then we'll talk about more common cases, halacha l'maisa. Shulchan Aruch talks about the following case. Let's say you, in the olden days, you wanted to keep things cold. You didn't have a refrigerator or freezer. What did you do? How could you keep your tomatoes fresh during the summer? You'd bury them. Right. You take, let's say, soft dirt, because you can't dig and crumble up dirt, but you take soft, crumbly dirt that's already broken up, dirt or sand, put it on the ground, and you put your tomatoes there. So even during the summer, they won't, they'll be kept cooler. But wait a second, how are you going to get your tomatoes? The dirt around it is mukta. If you move the dirt aside, that's going to be mukta, and it's mukta machmas gufo. You can't move it even if you want to access something. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Snon, talking about a radish, shetaman, that you hit in the ground, you could take out that, you could pull out the tomato or whatever, the radish, whatever it might be. Again, we're not talking about saying that it was growing there and you're detaching it. That's a different issue. You could pull out the thing that you had hid in the ground, even though you're moving the dirt. Why? Because the moving of the dirt is indirect. Okay, now that we have refrigerators, it's not so important. What is important is that Shulchan Aruch adds three words. And this is going to be a severe limitation of the whole heter of Tiltum and Hatzad. He says that you're only allowed to move things indirectly if it's for the purpose of a davar hamutter. Let me explain. You want a tomato, right? Tomatoes are mutter. So therefore, you could indirectly cause dirt to move to get your tomato. The case of the Mishnah, you wanted the wine underneath the rock. You wanted the pillow underneath the money. You wanted the pillow without the dirt on it. So since your goal was to have a good pillow, you could move whatever you needed indirectly. You could move the mukta indirectly to get what you needed. However, for a davar ha'asur, let's give an example. Let's say you want the... What's something mukta that I want somewhere else? Let's say I have my bottle of noodles, right? Raw noodles, we said, is mukta machmas gufo. And I want it, let's say it's lasagna noodles. And lasagna noodles are a little bit delicate, they could break. And I don't want the box on the floor because somebody will step on them, somebody will kick them, all the noodles inside will break. So I want to move it indirectly. Again, we're not talking about moving your body, that was last week. We're going to just move it with a broom. I'll push it with a broomstick. I'll push it with maybe a shovel. I'll push it with a fork to the corner of the room so no one will step on my lasagna noodles. So that, what's the purpose? What's the goal of my moving this mukta item? Even though I'm doing it indirectly. The goal is to protect the lasagna noodles. Are lasagna noodles a davar ha-mutter or a davar ha-asr on Shabbos? What? It's a davar ha-asr on Shabbos. So I cannot use an indirect movement to move my lasagna noodles, my raw lasagna noodles. However, if there's a cooked lasagna with a rock on top, then I could move the rock indirectly I could take that fork and push the, or I could take a broom and sweep away the, knock off the rock to get my cooked lasagna, which is, of course, a davar ha-mutter. Yes?
Why can't it be that you need this space on the floor and you can put it
in? We'll get there in a minute. But that, if you phrase it like that, that I'm worried about, I need the space on the floor so we don't trip on it, then you'd be right. The case that I created was that you're scared that the noodles will get broken. So that little difference is going to make a difference. What your motive? Is your motive for the floor and for people walking, which is a davar ha-mutter, or is your motive to protect the noodles, which are davar ha-asr? We'll see that in about 30 seconds. Okay? Any questions about this point that you could only move Tiltum and Hatzad if the purpose is something that's mutter? Yeah?
It was about the
before. That's a good point. You're saying that if you designated this earth as your refrigerator, so it shouldn't be mukta. That's a good point. I think it would only, if you designate, we learned a few weeks ago that when you want to designate a rock or something, like to throw at cars, chas v'shalom, or, you know, people you don't like, etc. We learned then that you have to designate it la'olam vayed. That has to, you're saying this rock is forever designated as my pet rock, as my, you know, missile against my younger brother. But if you just want to use it this Shabbos, because, you know, your brother happens to be home from yeshiva this Shabbos, that would not be sufficient to permit you to use that rock. Okay? Let's continue. Shulchan Aruch talks about an interesting case, and the case is less nogea for us, Baruch Hashem, but more nogea for its applications. Let's say there's a dead body on a bed, on a stretcher. This could happen in a hospital more often than elsewhere. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and well, this is just the paradigm that the Shulchan Aruch talks about. We're just going to apply the case to other cases. In tzarech l'makom ha-meis, you need the place where the mace is, right? Let's say you're in the hospital. Let's say there's a hospital. Shai Tzedek Hospital has X number of beds, and they're all full. When we had my eldest child, Menachem, was born in Hadassah Ein Karim in Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, the day that we went in to deliver Menachem, I drove there, it was hard. It was in the night, it was raining, it wasn't easy for me. The day that we went to have Menachem, apparently it was a busy day, Baruch Hashem. And we got there, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, you have to go to, whoever it was, said, I'm sorry, we're full, go to another hospital. We try to explain that, first of all, Hadassah Ein Karim happens not to really be near anything. It's about half an hour drive from any part of the United States, 20 minutes outside Yerushalayim. So you sort of pushed a little bit, and the doctor, we had a private doctor, so they were able to call. It's amazing what a little, not bribery, but, you know, paid doctor could do. It was full. So after the baby was born, my wife was placed in a hallway outside of rooms which were all full. For the first night, I think she slept in the hallway. Why? Because Baruch Hashem, the beds were full. Now let's talk about not in that ward, but a different ward. Let's say there's another ward where there is that which is also full, and they need an empty bed, and it happens to be, I can't say Baruch Hashem, somebody unfortunately dies in a certain bed, and we want to get to that bed. There's a big problem. What's the problem? A dead body. What do you do with a dead body? Nothing in the sense of using it as a tool or a kli. Dead body is mukta machmas gufo. A dead body is mukta. So how could I move that dead body if I want to use that bed for, hopefully, to heal the next person? Says the Shulchan Aruch, if I need the place where this body is, muta l'taltula min hatzad. I can move it indirectly. How? Listen to the example. Shehovcha mimita lemita. You sort of tip the bed over from one bed to the next bed or to wherever else you need it. Don't visualize it, because it manifests a visual experience. But just that you get the point. The point is that since you need the bed, which is a davar hamotir, for whatever purpose you need it, you can indirectly move the mukta because you're moving the bed and not the actual body. Now, based on that, we can apply exactly what you pointed out before. This is an example where now I don't need to access. It's not like I need to get the wine, but there's a rock on top. Nor is it that I need to, take my pillow and put my pillow where I want it, but there is money on top. Here, I just need, that bed is not moving, the bed is staying there, I just need to access this space, this bed space, or floor space. So there, that is also going to be considered. We see from this example that I need the place. That's considered a davar hamutter for which I'm allowed to do indirect movement. So let's give some examples, some applications of all these halachas. You forget your wallet on the pillow, on your bed. That's probably the most common application in terms of that the Mishnah said practically explicitly. Your wallet with money in it is the same as money. It's a wallet with money. It's also money. How do you get rid of it? Could you move your body? We said last week that theoretically you could move your body, but that's going to be a machlokas. Move it with your body, your elbow, your knee. That's going to be a machlokas, mishabrur and chazanish, which we mentioned earlier. So if you can avoid it, it's better to avoid it, like we pointed out earlier today. So what's the ideal? Well, the Mishnah told me I could take my pillow or my mattress and shake it. Shake off my wallet, shake off my whatever, my money from the pillow, from the mattress. Next application. Let's say I have my tablecloth or I have my plate. Let's talk about a tablecloth first, then we'll apply it to a plate, which is even more halachal ma'aseh. I have my tablecloth that is filled with all kinds of muktzah leftover foods. Like what? What's the leftover food that's going to be muktzah? Shells of what? Nutshells or eggshells or the stems from grapes. That's very halachal ma'aseh, yeah. So all these little pieces of non-edible food leftovers, not edible by a dog. If a dog would eat it, it's not muktzah. But if a dog would not eat it, like the eggshells, like pistachio shells, like sunflower seed shells, and those little stems from grapes, those are real muktzah machmas gufo. And they're all over this strewn all over the tablecloth. So what do? Can I lift them up? I cannot lift them up. What if I want to sit there? I still can't. What can I do? I can move them indirectly because I need the space. I need the tablecloth. I need the place of seating to be available for our next meal, for whatever I want to do. I could shake the tablecloth. Or I could, if it's on the table, I could tilt the table, like we talked about the dead body. Those will all be okay. Let's talk about a plate. I have a plate. On top of the plate is situated my shells and my muktzah things. There, theoretically, if we apply this logic, we should be able to take the plate and move the muktzah indirectly, meaning through moving the plate, and throw the shells out. But I have to think about that because I just have a question in my own mind. We'll leave that for another time.
What if you have other plates? What if you, is that one plate, you have nine other
plates? Excellent question. Excellent question. Whenever we talk about all of these heterim, I actually wanted to mention that I just printed the wrong page. I missed printing a certain page of my notes. Whenever we talk about all these heterim, we talked about moving with your body. We're talking now about moving things indirectly, tiltum and hatzad. Later on today, we're going to talk about moving things where they're dangerous items. We're going to talk about later on today blowing things with your breath. That's another way to move things. We'll talk about all kinds of ways of moving things today. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, and this is a general rule, not to do with tiltum and hatzad, a general rule, whenever you move things move things that are muktzah in a way that's permitted, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, only do it if there's a need for it. If there's no need for it, then avoid doing it. So if you have, it's a question of, you have a plate here, but you have five other plates, so why move this muktzah mutterly, permittedly, through tiltum and hatzad when you could just get another plate? However, if you don't have another plate, or if it's you don't want it here because you need to use the table, then you could do tiltum and hatzad or move it with your body, or we'll see all the other permitted ways of moving muktzah. But that's, thank you for that point. If there's no reason for you to do it, it's just you want to. If you don't, there's no reason, then just don't do it. If you want to, because you want to, that's also okay. But just to do it for fun, no, avoid that. Yes. Okay, that's very, very important. Let's say you don't need the table to have a meal on it. Let's say it's just unpleasant to have this ugly thing here. So let's say you left your detergent in your, let's say there's a bucket there. Let's say you left the detergent right outside of the closet. Okay, you have your closet where you keep all your cleaning items, and you have your detergent or your floor cleaner, your Pine Sol, whatever they call that, right outside the closet, and you want to sort of take the broom and just, brooms are not mukta, and push it into the closet, so just it's an eyesore. So I think that would be an example where you want the place. It's letzorach davar hamutter. You're not trying to serve the Pine Sol to protect the Pine Sol cleaning solution. It's Pine Sol Muktzah? A cleanser? What? Are you allowed to use it on Shabbos to clean your wooden floors?
Probably not, because you're going to absorb
it. If I guess, if you always use it with squeezing stuff, with mops and with sponges, maybe it's a problem. Okay, let's talk about something. Let's talk about detergent for washing machine or for a dishwasher. That's definitely going to be muxa because you can't do those, use those. Those are definitely muxa, so you want to push it in. So there, you're not trying to protect your detergent. You're trying to have a neat floor. That's a davar hamutter. Having a neat floor, a clean kitchen, or a clean hallway is a davar hamutter. It's not to protect the davar ha'atz, which is the detergent. So therefore, you would be able to take your broom and push the box or bottle of detergent into the closet, since you're moving it indirectly. Even if it's and you don't want it to spill. So then, if it's necessary, then what are the other options? You can't lift it up with your hands. What? Oh, could you put the cap on it? Could I put the cap on top of something, a bottle of something that's mukta? Excellent question. You're not moving the bottle. So there's nothing wrong with touching mukta. Oh, if it's dangerous, even a little bit dangerous, not really dangerous, a little dangerous, then I'm just trying to think, is the cap going to be mukta? The cap, is the cap serving? That's a good question. I'd have to think about that. It's an excellent question. I just have to think about it. I don't know the answer. Excellent question. Okay. Let's talk about some other examples where I want to move something indirectly because I need some mutter purpose. Probably the most important thing we'll say tonight is you have a tablecloth with shells on them. So you could, of course, we said before you could shake the tablecloth off, but for those of us who live in houses where we want our floor to be clean also, that might be less ideal. You could take an item and use that item to be that indirect force between your hand and the mukta and push aside with a knife, with a napkin, take the mukta that's on the table, the shells, take a napkin or a knife and sweep it to a corner, sweep it into a garbage can, into a garbage bag, onto something else. That will be mutter. Why? Because it's tilted ben hatzad, indirect movement of the mukta, and B, it's for a davar hamutter, which is your clean table, and that will be mutter. So halach l'maisa, you have seeds, you have other shells that are mukta. You could just push them aside with a napkin or a knife. It's explicit in the Mishnah Berurah as this as being one application, and that will be good. Let's talk about another application. Let's say I have a candy dish. Let's talk about candy corn, orange, white, yellow. Orange, yellow, white. Orange is on the bottom. White, yellow. Orange, white, yellow, I think. Right? Okay. You'll report back next week, Chris. So I have my candy corn, and we all like candy corns. I don't want to keep it for myself. I want to share the blessing. So I have a candy corn, a dish full of these candy corn candies, and I want to pass it to you. The problem is, or I want you to pass it to me, the problem is there's money. Money fell into it. So can I move the candy dish after all there's money sitting in it? So the answer will be, this is tiltum min hatzad. I'm moving the money indirectly, meaning I'm moving it through the medium of the candy dish, and it's for a permitted purpose, for candy corn. A very significant permitted purpose. So therefore, I can move a candy dish even though there's money sitting in it. What happens if I wanted to move the candy dish because it happens to be that there was a $20 bill that fell into it? So I want to move the candy dish off the table where somebody could get to it. One of those guests I don't really trust so much might get to it, so I want to move it, you know, into my bedroom. So the same exact act, but a different motivation. I'm moving the candy corn, I'm moving the money indirectly, tiltum min hatzad, but here, what's my goal? Davar hamutter or davar ha'asr? If it's for the money, it's davar ha'asr. And therefore, I will not be permitted to use tiltum min hatzad to move this candy dish, to bring it to my bedroom, to get the $20 away from those hands that I want to remove them from. But if I want to just give other people candy, but there's a nickel in it or a dollar in it, or maybe even if there's a $20 bill in it, but my motive to move this candy dish is to help people get candy, and that's at least mutter, if not a mitzvah on Shabbos, then that will be okay. Questions? Yeah.
Are you allowed to go for your handbag to retrieve keys or
Okay, halach l'maisa, this happens to all of us at least once a week. You forgot your keys in your pocketbook. In America we say pocketbook. In England, no. Your handbag, your pocketbook. Could you go through your handbag, your pocketbook to get the... So, pocketbooks are a little bit more complicated because they might be a busis. A handbag. That's a handbag, yeah. Oh, sorry. It's English humor. I mean, American humor. Purse, yeah. So, handbags are a little bit more complicated because they're a busis. A busis, which we didn't learn tonight, we might learn, we'll take a vote later, but we might learn about busis next week or not. Busis is when you... something is put somewhere for specifically to be there, on purpose to be there, and your money was put in your purse or your handbag on purpose, so therefore your handbag is a busis. So a busis is a little more complicated. If you want to get your keys out, let me just work it out. I'm not on the spot, okay? Afterwards I'll try to check it out. So I'll have to get back to you about that. That's very halacha l'maisa. Happens to me all the time. Why don't I know the answer? Okay. Any other applications? Okay, so any other questions about moving mukta indirectly? The Tzarech Tavra HaMutter. Yes.
On a plate, moving shells, is that tefillin mitzvah or not? Like, the shells are on, like, say, a paper plate.
Shells are on a paper plate. I just...
I'm glad I picked that up. And move it.
Based on what I said, it ought to be okay. For
like,
some reason... You mean to pick up the plate with a different plate?
No, holding the plate. Is that not tefillin, or that's just...
Again, the case is just lifting up a plate that has shells on it?
Yeah.
So based on what I said, it sounds like it's okay, but for whatever reason, something's ringing in my mind.
Have a whole nut or something on the...
That's why I'm wondering.
That's
why do I usually...
Yeah.
Right, that could be because you could. Right, that's what I always thought of. I just want to confirm that point also. Excellent.
Like,
that is
you
on.
Kind of like take the pillow and bring it somewhere and drop it in like an area that you want, as opposed to just knocking it off to the floor that's right by it.
That's an excellent question. That's going to be, I believe, machlokas that we're hopefully going to see in about 20 minutes or so. Okay, towards the end of today's year. Because later we're going to talk about once something is in your hand, are you allowed to take it wherever you want? We'll talk about that soon. Okay? Yes. Okay. Move a garbage can with garbage in it. So if it's repulsive garbage, smelly garbage, so we learned a few weeks ago that that's called a graf shel rei. That's called a, in the olden days, a bed, the halach of a bedpan, which is a disgusting receptacle, and those are mukta. However, where there's an equivalent halacha on the positive side that says whenever you have something that's repulsive to people, and there are people around, then you can move it away from people because of Kavod HaBriyos. So if it's a garbage can that's not repulsive, so why is it mukta? Paper plates are not mukta. Paper plates are not mukta. Leftover chicken is usually not mukta. The skin of chicken is not mukta. It's all edible by an animal. So most of the stuff in your... If it's all shells, maybe it won't be.
But...
Most of the stuff in your garbage can is probably not mukta. You could go over, pick you up your garbage can, your garbage bag, bring it to the edge of your table, and take the knife or the napkin and sweep all the shells into it. Correct. Yes. Yes. Excellent question. So, you definitely can eat the grapes. The question is, once you finish the grapes and you have the stem in your hand, you should probably put it down quickly. Once it's down, then we're going to have to figure out how to move it. So now we're suggesting that you can move it by brushing it off.
You can do that.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. In the same way, you could take a sunflower or pistachio and take out the pistachio from inside. Right. Correct. So that's going to be a Shailen Hilchos Busis, which I guess maybe we want to do next week. Okay? So hold that. Yes. Anything else? Okay. There's one thing that I want to make very clear. When we talked about moving things with your body, we said you can move things with your body even if you want to protect something, whether it's for davar hamutar or davar ha'asr. For example, when we talked about that detergent that was outside of the closet, if we're going to assume that there's something not so, it's not healthy or it's not good, it's going to get knocked over, something's going to, and then there's reason to move it with your body, you can move it with your foot, with your knees, with your teeth, with your head, with your shoulders, even though your goal is for the davar ha'asr. That's when we talked about last week, moving with your body. Here, by tiltum and hatsad is only going to be permitted if it's the tzorech davar hamutar. Let me give you another distinction, another application of this distinction. Let's talk about, let's talk about the shells. I have shells on my table. And I don't have any napkins nearby to wipe them to the side. But I hear a knock on the door, and someone's about to come in, and I don't want the shells to be on the table because it looks messy, but I have to get the door. So I could quickly take my elbow and sort of... That's not a good example. No, let me think of a different example. Because that would be... Why would I be knocking off those shells? To have a clean table. That's the tzorech davar hamutar. What's an example where I would be moving something muktza l'tzorech davar ha'asr? Okay, money. Let's talk about money. I have a $20 bill on the middle of the floor. I want to get the $20 bill to a safe place so it doesn't get lost over Shabbat. It doesn't get kicked around or lost or taken up or picked up by unwelcome people's hands. So can I move it with my feet? I should step on it. I think $20 is a significant reason to be able to rely on the Mishnah Berurah, who says you can move use your body to move Muktzah. $20, I think, is a sufficient reason. I put my foot on it, and I'm going to move it to the side. Now, what am I doing? Is my goal, is my motivation a davar hamutar or a davar ha'asr? What's my goal? What is my motivation? What do you say? It's a davar ha'asr. I want to protect the $20 bill. So there, listen carefully. To move it with your foot, sure, go ahead. We never said that your movement with your body has to be only for a davar hamutar. You could move muktzah with your body even for a davar ha'asr. So take your foot, put it on the $20 bill, shift your foot over till you get to your bedroom, kick it over the threshold, shut your door, no one will take the money from your room. That's fine. However, let's say you wanted to take a bowl or a plate, a plastic plate in one hand, take a knife in the other hand, sweep a dustpan and a broom. You take the broom, you want to sweep it onto the dustpan, carry the $20 bill with your dustpan into your room, that will be usur, because that's tiltum min hatsad, that's indirect movement. It's not with your body. It's indirect movement. You're using your hands to use instruments properly. Just you're moving the muktzah indirectly. And that indirect movement is only going to be mutter if your goal is a davar hamutter, not to protect the $20 bill. Let's just have the same exact case, but with a different motivation. I have a $20 bill on the floor, and it doesn't look nice on the floor. The floor doesn't look the way the floor should look for Shabbos. But somebody, we do our washes in the basement where you have to put in lots of quarters. So last time I went to Citibank, I asked for $110 in quarters. That's a few weeks. Let's say somebody, and we keep it on top of the refrigerator. Let's say somebody is trying to grab something on top of the refrigerator, a small monkey, for example, and it gets knocked over and many, 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 many dollars of quarters fall on the floor. So now I could have two thoughts. Me, as a guy, might be concerned about, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose $100 of quarters. My wife, perhaps, as a woman, might think, oh my gosh, we're having guests in 3 minutes and our kitchen floor is going to look all dirty, littered with coins. So now, could we brush up those coins with a dustpan? With a broom and a dustpan? Well, depends for whom. I'm worried about what? I'm worried about the money. Money's a davar ha'asr. I'm not allowed to do tiltum and hatsad for a davar ha'asr. Uri Orlin will not be permitted to sweep up the broom sweep the coins with the broom onto the dustpan and move them to somewhere else. Because I'm worried about protecting the money. My wife is concerned about the floor looking nice. The floor looking nice is a davar ha'mutter. Permitted, it's nice, it's a beautiful thing to have a beautiful clean floor on Shabbos. And therefore she would be allowed to, or if I want to do it for her motivation to make her happy, that would also be fine. If the motivation is to have a clean floor, So it's tiltum and hatsad, indirect movement of the mukta, letzorech davar hamutter, for the clean floor, and it would be permitted for that motivation to sweep them onto a dustpan and move the coins away. Yes?
But you could kick them away.
Correct. But if we wanted to kick them away, everybody could kick them away. I could kick them away, even though I want to protect the money. Yes, that is correct. Thank you. That illustrates the difference between the heter of moving with your body and the heter of tiltum and hatsad. There's one, before we finish this idea of indirect movement of tiltum and hatsad, which is arguably the most important heter that we're going to have, the most practical in all the cases of mukta that we talk about. There's one exception that's important to keep in mind that a lot of people don't know. Let's talk about examples of things that are mukta machmat chisaron kis. Mukta because of a concern for loss of value. What were things that we said were mukta because of chisaron kis? What were some examples of things because of their delicateness and concern for their value, they became mukta? Mukta that I can't even move them, letzarech gufo or letzarech makomo. What was an example? Tools of trade, yeah. What else? An antique item could be, unless it's a usable item, yeah, if it's just there for, yeah, that could be. For whatever reason, we won't say it's a painting, for whatever reason, although one could argue, but let's not say painting. What else? Shulchan knife, a mila knife. Amilas happen on Shabbos, right? Pasuk says, Bayom Hashmini, Yimol B'sar L'Tel, Bayom Hashmini specifically tells you even if it's on Shabbos. So this halacha ma'is. Yeah, what are other examples of things that are mukta machmas chisaron kis? Delicate to what?
Camera.
It depends what kind of camera. Do you have an SLR? You have an SLR. Yours is mukta machmas chisaron kis. I have a, you know, there's the point shoot. I would probably use it as a paperweight. You would not use your SLR as a paperweight. So your SLR is mukta machmas chisaron kis. My point and shoot, I would use it as a paperweight. So it's not mukta machmas chisaron kis. That's why I didn't care. So all those things that are mukta machmas chisaron kis, the heter of tiltum min hatsad and the heter moving with your body does not apply. Meaning, mukta machmas chisaron kis can never be moved even in the permitted ways of moving things. So I should, if I would have realized this 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we talked about mukta machmas chisaron kis, I should have said, mukta machmas chisaron kis is so usur that I can't even move it with my feet, my body, my hands. I can't even move it by sweeping it onto a dustpan indirectly. Mukta machmas chisaron kis is so off bounds, I'm not allowed to move it even with these permitted modes of moving things. Okay? Because mukta machmas chisaron kis, my concern for the value in my mind pushes it so far out of my mind that I'm really makta it. I really designate it away from my use. That's the best I can say.
So you don't want to be sweeping.
But I'd rather, if it's out of the range, let's say you leave your SLR on the pad, on the table, on your back porch, and all of a sudden, you look at the sky, it's about to rain. I'd rather sweep it onto a dustpan and carry it delicately, carefully into my house and leave it in the rain. That is correct. Could you cover it? I believe that's an excellent question. Could you move a kli to protect a kli that's mukta? For example, cover a camera left on the porch. I believe you can, but I have to check. I believe you can, but don't write it with a question mark. And
I think we said last week.
Yeah? At least one of us remembers. Could be. I don't remember. Okay. Let's talk about a new topic within mukta. What happens if you want to move mukta because of a danger? What's a case of something that's mukta and dangerous?
Detergent.
What?
Detergent
if there are babies. Yes, that's true.
I just happened, we had it out on the floor and we had a kid for lunch. And
you had a kid for lunch with ketchup on him?
There was a kid in our house for lunch and he went straight
for it. For detergent.
He went everywhere. So
okay. That is true. What else is the case? Broken glass. That's what I was hoping for, only because that's the one that the Rama actually that talks about specifically. Okay, a glass bowl breaks on Shabbos. A plate breaks on Shabbos. It falls on the floor.
You said you couldn't.
So, if something is a kli, that is a broken kli, what purpose does it have? None. If something is a broken kli, it doesn't have any purpose, it is mukta machmas gufo, which cannot be moved even if you need the place. The only change here in this example is that it's dangerous, it's a sakana. So what do we do? So let's not talk about mukta for a second. Let's put mukta aside. Let's talk about Hilchos Shabbos in general. What do I do on Shabbos when I have something that's a danger, a clear and present danger? I can't say it's pikuach nefashos. I can't say something is like, you know, some any individual is in mortal danger such that, of course, I could be mechallel Shabbos. Let's say there's a red-hot coal sitting around. Nowadays, we don't have red-hot coals sitting around because we have stoves. And, for you know, that's true. That's true. But I want to talk about something where I'm actually going to put out a fire. I have a red-hot coal, and it's sitting somewhere. I want to know, can I put it out? Because somebody could touch it and burn their hand badly. Maybe even worse. But on the other hand, is anyone in danger? No one's in danger. But it's a dangerous item that could hurt somebody. So the Shulchan Aruch says, an unrelated Hilchos Muktzah. We're not talking about Muktzah right now. For the next 20 seconds, we're talking about putting out fires. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Lamed Dalid 334, Gachelet, that's a coal that's burned, that's a flame or burning, that is in a place, and listen carefully to the words, B'makom Sherabim Nizukim Ba, where many people could get injured by it, you can put it out. That word Rabim, many people, is a significant word. There's a heter, if there's a danger to many people, then you're allowed to do an Issur D'Rabbanan. Why is putting it out only in Issur D'Rabbanan? And I thought putting out fires is also D'Oraisa. Well, here we're going to mention something quickly because it's, we can't talk about it for too long because it's not Hilchos Muktzah. Whenever you do a malacha on Shabbos and your goal is not productive, it's not Issur D'Oraisa. So, what's my goal in putting out this fire? So that I could have a piece of charcoal? No, because I don't want the fire. I don't want the fire. So I'm putting out the fire, not because I want something, but I don't want the fire. That's always going to be Issur D'Rabbanan. Which is why, oftentimes, turning off a light is not Issur D'Oraisa. Turning on a light could be, but when you turn off the light, you're not taking something away because you want something. You just don't want it there. That, oftentimes, is only D'Rabbanan. But we're not going to get into that. So therefore, when somebody's in danger, when there's a dangerous item, and you're only talking about an Issur D'Rabbanan, the Issur D'Rabbanan was dispensed by the Rabbanan. They said, it's not Usur. And therefore, when there's a lot of people around that could get hurt by a burning coal, you can extinguish that coal on Shabbos. That's the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Lamed Dalet. That's if people, the Mishnah Berurah points out, that's only if it's bodily injury that's present, but not financial injury. If it's possible bodily injury, and it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, you could violate any Issur D'Rabbanan on Shabbos to prevent potential bodily injury to many people. Now, that was not Hilchos Muktzah. Let's come back to Hilchos Muktzah. Yes? We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. About 4 minutes we'll be there. Let's come to Hilchos Muktzah. Let me read to you a halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Muktzah, Shin Ches, 308. Coats. What's a coats? Coats v'dada tatzmiach. What's a coats? A thorn. A thorn is dangerous, right? People could poke themselves on it. Coats hamunach b'rishut harabim. You're allowed to carry it without an Erev. But carry it less than Dalet Amos at a time, which is only D'Rabbanan. Why? Because maybe it will be damaged, people will be damaged, who? The Rabim. And in the place of a Hezek of damage to the Rabim, Rabbanan didn't make a Gezerah. It sounds like, a coat, by the way, is also Muktzah. I'm allowed to move a coat, move Muktzah, when there are Rabim who could get damaged by it. That fits with what we said before. You could violate an Issur Rabbanan when there's damage to a lot of people. So, therefore, let's say in Shul, on Shabbos, this light bulb breaks right over here on the floor. This Shul is a Rabban. There's a damage. People could get hurt as they walk on it, as they touch it. If it gets on the table, people touch it with their hands, they can get damaged, they get injured. So I have a hezek, a damage. And it's to Rabbim, I can move this mukta. And when I say move it, I mean move it with my hands, directly. We're talking about direct movement. However, the Shulchan Aruch in somewhere else says the same idea, that you can move things with your hands, of course, if it's going to damage, and it does not say the word Rabbim. He's talking about a case that we just described. Glass breaks on a table. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in a different place, in the same siman that talks about Mukta, if something dangerous breaks, if kelim break in a way that they could damage, for example, zechuchit, what's zechuchit? Zechuchit? Glass that breaks, al hashulchan, not talking about a lot of people around, mutter letaltel, you could move the shards of glass so that people don't get damaged, so that somebody doesn't get damaged. So here the Shulchan Aruch says you can move it even though there are not a lot of people. What we have here is a contradiction. We have a contradiction whether I'm allowed to move mukta to protect people only if you have a lot of people that could be damaged, or only if there, even if there's just one or two people that would be damaged, even if it's just on your kitchen table. So without getting into other answers, the Mishnah Berurah paskens the following. When it comes to mukta, mukta is different than other Yisurim Derabbanan. Other Yisurim Derabbanan, like putting out a fire, like carrying a thorn in Rishus Harabim, less than Dalet Amos at a time, which is only also Derabbanan. Those things, you could only violate those Yisurim Derabbanan and all the other Yisurim Derabbanan other than mukta, if it's a potential damage to Rabbim. However, if there's mukta, even if there's potential damage to only one person, you can move that mukta. So, halacha l'maisa. If you have, according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you have glass that breaks in your house, and it's dangerous, even though you don't have a lot of people here, well, if it's just you, and you know you could just avoid that corner of the living room where, you know, the glass broke, so you don't have to move anything. But if it's a place that somebody might get damaged, even if it's just you, your roommate, your guest, it's not Rabbim, not a lot of people, you are permitted to move that mukta. If there was some other Issur Derabbanan that you had to violate to protect people, that would only be permitted to violate if there were a lot of people in this potential danger. That's the end of moving things because of Sakana. Any questions about moving items because they're dangerous? So halacha l'maaseh, something's dangerous, and it might affect, it actually might be endangering somebody, you can move it with your bare hands. Of course, if there's a way to sweep it up with a broom, that might be better, but you can move it with your bare hands if necessary. Any questions? Yes.
So what about preventative measures? You think something might be dangerous? Kind of hanging out that you have?
Meaning I have, let's say, something sticking out of something. Something mukta is sticking out in a way that somebody might trip over it.
Plant could fall. Are you allowed to push it?
Let's say I have a plant that could fall on top of somebody and hurt them.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, I have a hanging plant that could fall on top of somebody and hurt them. I remember when I was in like sixth grade, we used to do this on purpose. You'd have like one of those classroom doors that would like be held open a little bit, and on top of the door you'd put something so that the next person who opened the door will fall down on them. But you're saying you didn't do it on purpose, it just happened. Okay, so you have a plant which is mukta, and it's in some way, however it is, it's tilting, and somebody might go under there. So that would be moving mukta, a case of sakana. So if you could move it, like just shift it with your elbow, that would probably be better, but if not, you could use your hands to move it. That doesn't mean that there's something on the floor somebody will trip on. That's not considered sakana. Even though it's dangerous, because you could trip on something. If there's a rock on the floor, you're not permitted to take your hands, because it's not, when we say dangerous, we mean something that could, something sharp, something acidic or poisonous. We're not talking about something that's just a rock that you could trip on and fall. That is clear in the poskim, that you cannot move just because the danger component, even though normally halacha requires that if you're walking down the street in a Jewish area and you see and there's a rock or a hole in the ground, you're not supposed to move from there until you make sure no one's going to get injured there. You see a pothole that somebody could trip over, somebody could fall into. If you see a string hanging out somewhere that's across the street, across the sidewalk, and somebody could catch their feet on it, you should not move from that place either until you make sure, until you alert people or until you remove that on weekdays. However, on Shabbos, even though we are concerned with the board, Birshut HaRab, with an obstacle that might hurt people, that's not the kind of danger we're talking about. We're talking about danger somebody could get a cut, somebody, it's a different kind of danger. It's a more acute danger that we're talking about. Okay, end of that sugya. Next point, we're almost at the end of this evening. Can you blow with your breath something that is muktza? So let's think of some examples. Let's say there's a pen on the table, and I need the table. So we know that if it's klisha melachta l'iser, I can move it because I need the table. But let's say I want to move that pen because it's my favorite pen, and I don't want it to get lost. So I'm moving it, not because I need the table, because I want to protect the pen. But pen is mukta. Can I blow on it? So let's take a vote. Who says you can blow mukta to move it because you want to protect it? Who says you could blow mukta? Who says you can't blow mukta? Who doesn't think? Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Hilchos Mukta, Rama, says, Mutter l'taltel davar mukta ayadei nifuach. It is permitted to move mukta through blowing on it. Because that's not called moving mukta. So let's think of some examples. You have a $50 bill or a $100 bill, and it's anywhere. And you want to either protect it, get it out of the way, whatever it is, you just want to move it. So go ahead and blow it to wherever you want to blow it to. You have a pen. You want to get it to wherever you want to get it to. Blow the pen. What are other cases where you could blow mukta? You have, let's say there's just like one or two sunflower seed shells that are just irking you. They're sitting, they're not, you can't say it's actually like you need the space. It's just, it irks you. So you take your mouth, you give a blow, and they disappear onto the floor where no one else will see them until somebody decides to clean the floor under the table. And you're safe. Blowing is mutter. Okay? Let's talk about the final thing for this, final discussion for today, and that is the final heter that we're going to talk about of how to move mukta, after we talked about all the things that are mukta in the past few weeks. Once something is in your hands, what could you do with it? We mentioned, I think in the first or second shir on Hilchas Mukta, we talked about a klisha melachta l'iser, a hammer, a pen, a remote control, a cell phone, all kinds of tools that you do activity, mukta, malacha activities with. What are other examples of a klisha melachta l'iser? Screwdriver, guitar, what else? A hair dryer, what else? Klisha melachta l'iser. Okay, all those things. Now, we said that you're allowed to move it if you need the location. My hair dryer. My hair dryer is sitting right where I like to learn on Shabbos afternoon. So can I take the hair dryer with my bare hands and lift it and move it to wherever I need to? 100%. I take the hair dryer. Well, I could lift it up. But now do I have to drop it immediately? So we said, and this is clear in the Shulchan Aruch, that a klisha melachta l'iser, once it's in my hands, because I moved it with Tzarech Makomo, or I want to take the hair dryer and scratch my head with it, or scratch my back because I can't reach with my hand, that's the Tzarech Gufo. I take the hair dryer, it's in my hands. Now what I do with it? I take it wherever I want. I want to take it three flights up to my sister's bedroom and put it in her closet, that's fine. I could do that once it's in my hand. The question is, what about things that are not kelim shemelachta l'iser, What about things that I picked up by mistake? I didn't pick it up with heter, with the permission to pick it up, like the hairdryer that was in my place. So here we get into a little bit of a question. And there's a machlokas in the Achronim about this. Halakha l'maaseh, the way we paskin, the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, the only time that I'm allowed to move things once they're in my... Again, I picked it up, and it's in my hand because it was a klishim l'atlis, and I was allowed to move it for whatever those two needs that I have, either because I need a place or I need to do something, some alternate use. I'm only allowed to move it to wherever I want in that situation of a klisha malach to l'iser that I lift it up with tzorach gufo mekoma. However, if you have a rock that you lift it up for whatever reason, you have a dollar or a quarter that's in your hands for whatever reason, you have to drop it where you are. You can't bring it to a place where you want, to a place that's safe. That is how the Mishnah Berurah concludes. I'll tell you a very important application, which is a gigantic machlokas achronim. A mila knife. Is a mila knife a klisha malach to l'iser? Is it like a cell phone? Is it like a remote control? Is it like a hairdryer? What is it? Mukta machmat chisaron kis. It's mukta because it's delicate, because of its, my concern for its value. So according to what we just said, even though it's in your hand permissibly, the second the mohel finishes doing the bris milah, what should he have to do, according to the logic that I just said? He theoretically should have to, I mean, not drop in a way that will hurt anybody, but once it's in his hand, and let's say he's right next to a table where he has his tools, he should have to drop it there. And I guess leave it there till after Shabbos, which for all kinds of reasons a mohel might not want to do. So that is the subject to a lot of discussion among the Achronim and how they get out of it, ask your local Orthodox Mohel. But that's just one application showing how the only time that once something is in your hand, you can move it wherever you want, is if it was a klisha malach to l'iser, something that's usher only because you do prohibited acts with it, which you are permitted to lift up and move for because it's in your way, or for an alternate use. Then once it's in your hand, because you had that heter to move it, you could carry it to wherever you want. But all the other kinds of muktzahs, if you find them in your hands for whatever reason, drop it from your hands. Yes, questions?
What if you're walking on Shabbos and you put your hand in your pocket and you find...
You find a tissue, a dollar.
Let's talk about... keys or something.
Okay. So if you're walking on Shabbos and... That's not a question outside of an Erev, right? Outside of an Erev, and again, nothing to do with Muktzah. You find that tissue in your pocket, then that's a complicated Shaila in Hilchos Hotza'ah. Without getting into anything too complicated, I would say continue walking until you get to a fire hydrant and place it upon a fire hydrant. Why? Because fire hydrants in Halakha, because of their size, are a different... Oh, you don't want to leave it on your... You don't want to cry.
Can you, like, bury it under something? Or could you take it to somewhere to protect it?
Okay, so that might be... I have to look it up more specifically, but if there's a chisar... Normally, there's an issa d'rabbanan. You could walk less than 4 amos carrying brishos around it. So let's say my kippah falls off, it blows off in the wind, and I pick it up in the street, I don't have to put it on my head. That moment, I could walk 2 steps. The same 4 amos that I could walk without a kippah, I could walk without, I could carry in Rishus HaRabim. You want to know if I can walk more than that. So that will depend, that might depend on a lot of factors. Okay, so Be'ezat Hashem, that will be the conclusion of Hilchas Muktzah. In terms of Hilchas Muktzah, all the Isurim, we did the first 4 weeks or so, the past 2 weeks we talked about how you could move Muktzah. Maybe it's worthwhile next week to talk about Basis, because it's a lot of applications of what we learned, putting it to practical applications. For example, let's say, well, I don't want to give away the secrets, so that will be next week. Be'ezrat Hashem.